This morning, turn to the Epistle to the Ephesians, which is before you, where the Epistle is looking at the hostility that existed between Jew and Gentile in Paul's time. The Jews hated the Gentiles so much so that if a Gentile woman fell into labor during and had difficulty, they wouldn't help her in order to stop another Gentile being born into the world. And the Gentiles weren't too fond of the Jews either. And the Jews saw themselves as God's chosen people, which gave them the right to hate others. They'd been promised the Messiah. They alone were part of God's covenant, and anyone else did not belong to God's people. And the Jew had a national home in Palestine, but they were scattered around the Mediterranean area. And wherever they went, they took with them a high moral standard and pure faith in a holy and righteous God, in contrast to the Gentile gods. They didn't want anything to be dragged down morally by those who lived in a world of moral and spiritual corruption. The Jew was determined to maintain this separation and not let the Gentile have any share of the promise of salvation unless he accepted and obeyed every line of the law. And the Jews considered the Gentiles had rejected God, which they had, so causing a dividing line of hostility. And in the courts, the temple courts, there were separate courts for various people. And there was an inscription on the wall which said that any Gentile caught within the temple area would face death. The temple was at the heart of Judaism and was a symbol of all the law stood for. The Gentiles had their own gods. And it was a multi-faith society. And like those today who have their own gods of money, property, etc., all of which do not give the spiritual satisfaction or belief in the one true God, they were without hope, and there's no fulfillment in an empty product. The Gentiles had a mixed reaction to the Jews. Some returned the hatred, and others were attracted by the moral outlook of Judaism. They saw in the Jewish synagogue fellowship and brotherhood, which contrasted with the disintegration of their own society. They saw noble standards. But the Gentiles felt like many people today that they didn't seem to belong to anything, and they had no clearly defined belief. They knew there must be something better within their grasp, and we wanted to find it. And today we can see a parallel situation in some of our churches. People see clearly defined doctrine be ignored and reinterpreted to be worldly friendly and to embrace the modern culture, but which lacks a clear moral basis. And so each year, sadly, a number of people are walking away. But Paul was trying to explain the loss of not being Jews. They were seen as foreigners, and as such they were excluded from all the benefits of the citizens of Israel. And whilst Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, he still had great concern for the Jews and is striving here to bring the two together. And he talks of the dividing wall which prevents them from mixing. And he says we've all got to get right with God. And until we do so, we won't get right with other people. We get the answer by Jesus dying on the cross, who brings reconciliation for us to be right with God and other people. And Jew and Gentile can now sit down together as one and form what became known as the third race, that is, Christians. And Paul uses illustrations which would be vivid to a Jew to show hatred could be ended and unity achieved. He said, those who were far off were brought near. And when rabbis spoke about receiving a convert into Judaism, they said he'd been brought near. And so Paul assures both Gentiles and Jew that they can both be followers of Jesus and end the resentment because of the peace earned for them by the death on the cross. He says, you Ephesians are no longer strangers and foreigners. Once you were strangers, says the apostle, you didn't know God and what he could do for you. And now that you come to Christ, you're no more strangers. And you're no longer foreigners either. But a foreigner is different to a stranger. A stranger may come to a place and know nothing about it, but a foreigner can be very familiar with the country in which he lives. He may have been there for years, but he's no ultimate rights. He's living on a passport. And so as we come to church, perhaps even on a regular basis, we have to be careful. We come not as strangers or foreigners with a passport, but as one who has the full rights of a citizen to the kingdom of God. And Paul is writing as a Jew to a largely Gentile people, and he wants to show how wonderful it is to be a Christian and to belong to a church. He sees the Christian as part of a great building, and each Christian is a stone built into the church. And Jesus is the cornerstone, and on him alone that are we built. Unity comes from Jesus, not from any organization, not from any ritual, not from any liturgy, or not belong to any particular denomination. And when we're able to understand how God sees the church, we will want to do all we can to make others become part of it. But we have to accept that our world does have divisions, and the clashes of interest are real. Despite all the wonderful advanced technology and aids we have today, we haven't advanced much in relationships. We have wonderful medical operations which performs heart transplants, and yet many hearts are without compassion. And in every walk of life we find hostility, even regrettably within the church. We don't have to go back 2,000 years to find racial or cultural hostility. There's still a wall in place in Belfast, erected during the Troubles to keep Protestant and Catholic apart. And such rivalry in the name of religion was appalling. But even more shameful was the fact that such rivalry could have been cut out altogether if the church leaders of both faiths had got together and told their peoples to behave, because the clergy in Northern Ireland command much more respect and influence than they do here, and they are listened to, but on either side there was support for their own factions. There are differences in people which God no doubt intended. We are not, despite the efforts of the equality zealots in Parliament, all equal or the same. You don't have a body which is all hands or all heads, and if the body of Christ is to be complete and functional, it needs to have various qualities, and each sex performs some functions in life in a better way than the other, and they should be allowed to get on with it without interference. And Christians should be able to rise above strife. People sometimes see others through their own eyes. Two ladies who hadn't tasted champagne one day decided to try some, and it ended with one accusing the other of being drunk. She said, "I know you're drunk because I can see you've got two heads." And we allow the emotional differences that people have to be given greater significance than what they really do have in common. And so in the concluding verses of our passage, Paul wants to encourage us to come into a living relationship with God, because we are children of God who cares for us and has a purpose for our life. And as Christians, we belong to the heavenly family with one Father, one brother in Jesus, and a common spirit. And this means we meet not as strangers, but as brothers and sisters of God's family. May God bless his word to us this morning, and us to his service. Amen. Amen.